It's my privilege to be able to carry on the theme as we tried to set a vision last week for where this thing would be taking us for the next 6 weeks. And I'm looking forward to each, the more I'm thinking about this, the more I'm glad that Marcel let me do this part of it. Because just after we're done this, we're going to go into another great theme, right? Just a really good theme. But you just can't, this is vitamin C kind of stuff. It's just, it covers so many areas of your life. So if you'll have your Bible with you, I want to read just one line out of Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Then we'll preach about it and talk about it and hopefully communicate some wonderful truths to all of our hearts together. Verse 42, Acts chapter 2. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship. And the fellowship. Might I say this? It's always about the fellowship. Fellowship this way, first of all, then fellowship this way. If one of those is missing, you're not going too far too fast, that's for sure. One of the first things that happens when you are filled with the Holy Spirit is that for some reason you seek out other people who've experienced Jesus as well. It's an amazing thing how that happens. But you just do. The Spirit will always bring you to a group of people. You may wonder how that works. I don't know how it works, but all I know is that the minute you give your heart to Christ and He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, He diverts you so that you're not an orphan, but that you're part of something. And that something, that part of something, in my mind, is the body of Christ. It's the church. And the Lord doesn't want me to come to know Him and then die a slow death, as it were, from lack of attention. But oh, the joy of new Christians who come to know Christ and then are incorporated into the body of Jesus, where we say, oh, there's a new one, and there's a new one, and there's a new one. It's all about the fellowship. And without the fellowship, we're missing so amazing amount of growth-oriented things that need to happen. So my point is this. Very few people, unfortunately, devote themselves to the fellowship. That doesn't mean show up. Anybody can show up, right? But to devote yourself. There's something happening here. Then count me in. When you devote yourself, you're really saying, count me in. Jesus has come into my heart. Now I want to walk with Him and I want to get to know Him. And so this is my new family, is it? So you're the ones I'm going to track with. You're the ones that we're going to walk hand in hand with from now until the Lord comes. This is how it works. Joseph, is this how it is? So this is going to be the body of Jesus for me. You see, everybody needs to belong somewhere. A spiritual home. A place where you were loved and cared for and they put up with you. I think of all the years you put up with me here. It's an amazing thing. I love you for that. Is that my wife saying amen? She's put up with even more. But when I think about it and the idiosyncrasies and the kindness and the care that I've experienced, and I'm grateful for that. So I want to talk about, I want to lay a little bit of a biblical picture and then some practical things as to how does authentic fellowship really work. I want to talk about the biblical part of it, because it's a principle in mind that no matter what else happens in other areas, it will always be true because it's from the Scriptures. So the personal corporate basis of the Christian life on the personal side, that as soon as somebody is saved, I'm thinking of Romans chapter 10 verse 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, right, that Jesus is Lord and that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That has to happen. You can't have fellowship. You can't have koinonia. You can't have this family of God thing until that's happened. You can't bring, you know, there's been periods of church history where people joined the church, but there was no conversion. And a whole church full of unregenerated people. Imagine that, trying to maybe pull off the Bible as we're, and it can't be done without the new birth. So as soon as somebody is saved, they become a member of the family of God, but only when they get saved. So 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, for by one Spirit have we all been made into drink of one fountain source. 1 Corinthians 12:12 is that there's one body and many members. What are those members? They're the people that have been incorporated into the body of Christ. They are God's children. You know, we could speak a whole thing about what it means to be a child of God. But we're one of God's children. This is one of the first revelations of the Bible, that one who is born again into God's house thus becomes one child amongst many children. First of all, you think it's just Jesus and you, right? You invite Jesus in your heart and say, oh, I love him. He loves me. Well, this is perfect. The rest of my life, I'll have him. He'll have me. It's beautiful. And you ride off into the sunset singing all kinds of wonderful worship songs. And then somebody taps you on the shoulder and said, you can't do that. It's not to be alone. What? Well, no, but it's so wonderful. Jesus is so wonderful. I feel so forgiven. I feel so cleansed. I belong to him. He told me. He touched me. And the Lord has to say, no, you can't do this alone. You must do it with others, because that's the very nature of I am one child amongst many children. I find out that I've got brothers and sisters and people that belong to the Lord. You see, the life which one receives upon believing in the Lord is a life shared with many other people. You might like to keep it private. I've had people say, Pastor, can we ask you a question? I'd like to get baptized. Oh, you'd like to get, I said, that's great. You want to get baptized? Oh, I'm excited already. I'd like to get baptized alone. Alone where? Alone in my bathtub, if you'd come over. And they're really serious, right? I said, well, you know, it's just Jesus and you and me. And I said, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to go in your bathroom with you to baptize you. Don't think that's going to happen. Thanks for the offer, but no, I think not. I said, no, you know, it must be done publicly, because you're identifying with your brothers and your sisters. And it kind of spoiled it for them. You say, well, I have to bring all those people along. Well, I don't even like half of them. But that's your family. My family? I mean, it's not just you and me. He said, I want to introduce you to my to your brothers and sisters. And now all the years of my life, from the day that I gave my heart to Jesus, I've had this privilege of being part of a family. As a real family, a genuine family, God's family. You see, we cannot live in isolation. There's the tendency to live in isolation. We cannot live in isolation because we'd miss the fullness of God. So there's this personal side, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay. And we experience the new birth. One passes from death to life. What would be greater than that, you see? So that's the personal side of it. But there's the corporate side of it, the larger side of it. It's a marvelous thing to know that one is saved. But it's equally a marvelous thing to realize, and I hope I can speak in revelation here today, it's an equally beautiful thing, unbelievable thing, to realize from 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 that each of us are stones, the writer said, like a stone, you know, a rock, and we're placed. Well, let's read it. Let's read it. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter. It's worthwhile reading. As you came to him, all right, that's the personal side of it, right? A living stone, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. You yourselves, like living stones, in other words, alive, stones that are alive, living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house. If you miss this, you will miss a very important truth of the Christian life. A spiritual stone. By putting these living stones together, God gets a temple, which I believe he's always wanted. You see, I'll get to that in time. God gets his temple. Thank God you were saved, that you have trusted in the Lord Jesus, that you are now a stone, as Peter says. Let your stone be built together with the other stones, and you will have a house. And this is what the Lord does. He takes us as a stone, and he places us into the superstructure of this thing called the Church of Jesus Christ. I must be placed into the body. That's as real as inviting Jesus into my heart. The next step that must happen is that I'm placed into this beautiful thing that God is building. For the stones to be left scattered and independent would ruin the idea that God had in mind by our conversion. A stone, though living, will lose its usefulness and miss out on spiritual riches if not joined together to other living stones. Then God can dwell in our midst. See, he dwells in our midst by placing one more in and one more in and one more in. I thank God that I've been placed into the spiritual house. It's the greatest thing can ever, next to the personal side of it, this corporate thing is unbelievable. That's why there should be a conviction in our hearts that we must be in the church. That doesn't mean attending church. It's much more profound than that. Yes, we can attend. Yes, we can become a member, right? But to recognize that I've got a family that I'm a part of, that we are these living, lively stones that the Lord places. It's a powerful thing. Very, very powerful thing. To see this is something simply grand. It just is something unbelievably precious. Think how indispensable is this little stone. Here, I'm just a stone. Small stone. I was a teenager when I gave my heart to the Lord. And that I'm part of God's dwelling place, the want of which will create a hole in the house for the thief to come in. If I do not take up my position in that, I believe I can't bring my contribution. I must bring it to the body. You must bring your contribution to the body. So you can't do that unless you start to see yourself that God's placed you there. And if you don't take up that position, you created a hole in the house for the thief to climb in. Because the Lord takes us and he places you in as a spiritual house that's being built. How can it be built if you're not there? I came here this morning before the building of the body of Jesus. And I hope you have come to encourage one another and strengthen each other and to bless each other. Why? Because that's what we've been placed in. That's the second part of it. Just my own personal conversion doesn't cut it. It's real and precious. But so is the fact that we're part of a spiritual house that God is building. And I want my part, and you want your part, I'm sure, done, to be part of something. The purpose of the stone is to be joined with other material. You see, I'm God's material. I've seen this. To me, it's kind of like a revelation. Maybe I've stumbled my way through it, but you may get a glimpse of it. Maybe not. But I get it into this degree that I've been brought in. I'm part of God's material. It's a stone. It's not much until he places it. Then it's profound. It's absolutely profound. You see, the purpose of the stone is to be joined with other material. Other material. To contain God, we need to be joined together because we do contain God. The Spirit is only released as we release it. That much I know for absolute fact. That when we come together, if the body does not respond, there is not much happening that Sunday. Right? That's why we enter in. We're part of something. We're joined together with other material. And that blessed thing. Oh, what a blessed thing that is. We can't afford to be independent, lest we miss out on God's intention for our lives. You see, the point is, the Lord wants me part of a spiritual family from now till I feel his arms around me someday in heaven. It's a beautiful thing. So to contain God, see, he said it's a dwelling place of this, of the Lord, that he puts us together. And together we become the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. One spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. And so to contain God, we need to be joined together. As 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, one body, many members, all placed by the Lord. You are the material for the building of the body of Jesus. I'm the material. It's crucial that I be part of it. It's crucial that I not just show up. See, you know, when we say, what church do you belong to? And that person say, oh, I attend over here. Attending. Oh, you haven't begun to enter into the real understanding of that. I can't just attend. I bring material. You bring material for the building of the body. You are the material. It's made up of lively stones. Are you catching it? It's a wonderful picture. Joined together. And in order to contain God, we need to be joined together. It can't be done any other way. It's so powerful. And so the whole point, well, turn with me, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 6. It's not on your notes, so just, you'll have to trust me on this. 1 Kings. Chapter 6. There's a little picture here that I saw sometime. I can't remember when I actually saw it, but I know I was reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and then it somehow I got over to this passage. But listen to it. It's the building of Solomon's temple. It's a very wonderful thing. A very wonderful thing. When the house was built, it was with stone prepared at the quarry, so that neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron was heard in the house while it was being built. Here's the picture. Nothing on site. There was not to be the sound of one hammer. There was not to be the sound of any scraping, no pounding. It was all done so precision that it was fit, put together in the quarry, all alone, perhaps miles from where it was finally going to be. Each block, absolutely correct, brought in, no hammers, no saws, no axes, nothing, just absolute fit, slide in together, stone upon stone, until the entire temple was built. To me, the picture is that many times you have been in the rock quarry of your life, in the dark, and God has been hammering on you and pounding you and shaping you and creating you and ministering to you so that you will fit well in the body. Well, you'll fit well. I'm mixing so many metaphors here, but you will fit with the house, the temple of the Lord. And so I can't be squawking and screaming, so the Lord works on me. You go through things. The Lord allows things. And then there's not to be any fuss. It's all done secretly and privately. And isn't it, haven't you found already, God's been working on you, speaking to you, challenging you, shaping you, so that you are become this piece of material for the building of the dwelling place of God. And when you see that, it's absolutely incredible. It's just incredible. I'm grateful, because the rest of my life I want to be useful. I want to be that material. See, that's why it's not just a matter of Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. In other words, personal salvation is absolutely crucial. But the thing that runs along with it is to see yourself in Christ, in his body. That's why when we come together then, it's a rich, powerful thing. It's just so overwhelmingly powerful. So when we gather in our groups, it's a miraculous thing. That is, Marguerite comes with hers, and Brian comes with his material, and God has placed us. We've got stories to tell about the quarry, how God spoke to us, and how God chided us, or how God shaped us. And we're always telling stories about the quarry, but it's for it, so it's a perfect fit when we come together, and it is. It really, really, it is. It's a beautiful thing. So, on a practical note, if that be the case, that there's this corporate thing going on, that I have to be here, you have to be here. When somebody says, are you going to go to church today? No, I don't think I'm going to church today. That would suggest either you don't understand what the Lord has done for you in your salvation. It's not a matter you have to go to church. That's not it. It's you and I have the privilege of being material for God. And if I have to bring my material, Owen's not here today. He can't bring his material. Brian's not here today. He can't bring his material. See, it's not a matter, it's not a lecture, you have to go to church. It's, we have the privilege of being part of what the Holy Spirit has done in our midst. We've got a story to tell of our salvation. We've got endless stories to tell of the shaping of our lives together, of the valuing of each other, of encouraging one another and strengthening one another and helping one another and building each other up, because God's building this house and he wants you a part of it. You miss it. You miss something very important that might have happened, and the church begins to move and grow, and you say, I didn't even know about that. Why? Because you weren't there. You weren't there. I want to be there. I want to be part of it, because that's what God is doing. The greatest thing in the world going on today is the building of the Church of Jesus Christ. There is nothing bigger, there is nothing better, there is nothing grander, there is nothing more special than this. This is what he's doing. He's not doing anything else. It will change. The emphasis will change in the days, but at this hour, he's building up his body, and I can be a part of it. Imagine that. You could be a CEO, or you could be a famous person, or a wealthy person, whatever else it would be, and you say, well, that's interesting, but are you part of the building of the body of Jesus? Because that's what's going to go into eternity, this unbelievable temple that he's built. So, the Acts chapter 2 church excelled on cultivating authentic community. See, they were devoted to the fellowship because they got it, that they weren't to be lone Christians. They were to be part of something bigger. And so they devoted themselves to the church and to each other, and they held everything in common. They broke bread, ate together with glad and sincere hearts. And I know this, is that getting involved in a really good church is not a building that you go into, it's a family that you belong to. Right? It's not a matter of attending church. It's a matter of being the church. That's the power of it. And it's a family that you belong to. You don't go into, you say, well, I'm going into church. No, not really. You're joining the family this morning. We ought to say, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the body of Jesus. That's what we ought to be saying. We belong to him. See, relationships where you can know and be known, love and be loved, serve and be served, celebrate and be celebrated, that's what it's about. So how do we, on a practical level then, if we move from the personal to the corporate to now to the practical outworking when we come together, what happens when we come together? Or what ought to happen? Maybe it doesn't always happen, but what ought to happen? How do you experience authentic community where we can say, wow, the fellowship. Oh, how I miss the fellowship of my brothers and sisters who God has brought out of a world of darkness, has cleansed them of all sin, has now put them beside me. There we are together together, telling the wonderful story of salvation over again and growing together. So how do we experience authentic community? Well, number one, and it's obvious, but you make time for it. You make time for it. You commit to an intentional group of people, perhaps the best thing, on a weekly basis. You sign up for a group, at least for our emphasis here. You sign up for a group, and you make it such a priority that you show up every week because you're devoted to the fellowship, devoted to the building up of the body of the Lord. So you make time for it. It never will, you know, if you don't make time for it, it will never happen. There'll always be something that will rob you. Always. I know that to be a fact. It's just something you got to make time for it. So in your own heart and mind, if you haven't yet, even for our emphasis here, there's an opportunity to get together for 6 weeks. What a good opportunity that is. What a wonderful opportunity. And to realize that relationships don't just happen. Right? Even though in the sight of the Lord, he's already seen it, but they don't just happen for us. You and I need to deliberately make time for them. And here's the honesty about it. I hope it's an honestness about it. That you can't have a deep relationship with everybody. That's never going to happen. Okay? Just to warn you. You can't have a deep relationship with everyone, but you can cultivate some authentic relationships with a core few. See, if you had a church of 500 people, how many people could you know personally and intimately? Here, let's say we've got 400 people. How many could we can't know everybody. We can't get that close to everybody, right? As much as I would like to. I would like that. But it can't happen. There's not enough time in your schedule. There's not to get you. But there can be a core people, a group of people. You say, those are the people that I'm connected to the most. And they're the ones I would phone. They're the ones that I would ask for help if I needed some help. So just so because you get this idea that there's every one of us be so tight and so close that we just can hardly believe it. No, I don't think so. But there will be people that would, you see, there will be your people. You say, those are the people that I just seem to be drawn to. And that's good. That's how it ought to be. And that's very encouraging when you hear that. So we commit ourselves to joining a small group or a class or a ministry, and we meet perhaps at least once a week for the next few weeks for our campaign here to hang out together and talk about what it means to be part of the church. So that first of all, it's just to be that simple that you got to take time for it. It won't happen. It's because it's going to be over fast enough as it is, right? We know that. It will be doing that Christmas theme before we whistle and Merry Christmas to each other and say, whatever happened to that? Didn't we? Yeah, it's just bang, 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 like that. It will go very, very fast. So here's a chance for you and I to be part of something excellent. So for number one, take time for it. Number two, you contribute to it. Again, as I said, you don't just show up, you contribute. You make a conscious effort to be contributors to the group. That can scare some people. And some people love groups and some people don't love groups, but you won't be put on the spot. I think we can assure that we're not going to be put on the spot in these groups. You don't want to share, that would be fine. You just find your own comfort level. But come to those meetings with the idea that you're going to make a contribution, a conscious effort to be a contributor to the group. The bottom line is that we learn to do life together, to speak the truth in love to one another, and make each person feel better as a result. I know if I go driving to some group and say, Lord, make me a blessing to these people tonight, make to that, especially to those two or three or four that I've been drawing close to, make me a blessing to them. Help me to encourage somebody. You know, there's nothing better than to have somebody come up to you and said, you know, I've been thinking about you, Joe. Really, you've been thinking about me. Yeah. How are you doing? And so he goes away encouraged that I've been thinking, and I go away blessed by his response. See, that is the power of this thing. It's we encourage and we affirm, and we're just better as a result. unless you belong to some kind of a sick, weird group or something, you are better. People said, how was that test you were studying for? How did that work in court? You know what? Everybody needs some balcony people. Now, I don't mean these people. you'd be okay, too. But so that they say, well, I have a court case today. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's this week. Well, we'll be thinking of you. Now, the whole group's not going to go to court probably, right? But as you go into the courtroom, you're conscious of the balcony people, the people there that are cheering you on. They're watching. Said, how did it go? How did that operation go that you were going in for a checkup? How did that go? And you feel affirmed. Somebody asked you. Somebody's concerned about you. Somebody cares about you in a genuine way. Tell you, you have a few times like that, and you start thinking, wow, how could I not be without this? So valuable, especially when you're discouraged and you're feeling overwhelmed to know that if I share that, tonight at the group, if I share that, I know that they'll pray for me and with me. And you know that moment when we all say, why don't we pray? And we join our hearts and many times our hands together. We say, oh, Holy Spirit, come now. We just pray for that person. There's somebody you can hear, somebody blowing their nose. And you look over here, there's already three or four women. It's always women first that do this. I don't know why that is, but so you look out there, here's three or four ladies. They're already gathered around that person. They're laying hands on that person. And you can feel, and we all can sense Jesus in that meeting. And we go there saying, oh, I'll tell you, that prayer time was so precious. Or that moment we had communion. It was the real thing. It was the real, real thing. So that's what we do. We contribute. We don't just show up. We're there. And our goal is to make each other better as a result. If this doesn't make you better, we're off track. Right? This should make us better in so many ways. There's another thing. And that is to take a genuine interest, an absolutely genuine interest in the lives of others. I am just enough of a people pleaser to know this to be true, that I don't care if everybody loves me as long as everybody likes me. And it's a powerful thing. When somebody takes a genuine interest in me, I can feel myself. Wow. Right? Because for whatever reason, that's just how I'm wired. I've made a mistake thinking other people wanted the same. And I could feel them backing away because I was a little too friendly, perhaps, or a little too needy. I'm not sure how that was. Hey, good to see you. Give me a hug. You know, that person is just, you know, the huggers and the non-huggers. They're always the wrong connection there. But a genuine interest, that is, if it's from your heart in the lives of others, and especially when we remember to pray for each other, it's quite a thing that if Richard and Bernice are praying for, no, I say, we'll remember you in prayer this week. Wow. Where else, folks, where else would you actually get that and actually get real prayer? Where else could you go in your world as you go out of here today where you could say, you know, there's a group of people there that said they would pray for me, and I know they will pray for me. How much richer will your life be, right? If this was how your Christian life was about. Personal salvation, yes, but placed into this living temple that God has got, and using your material for encouragement and strengthening. Somebody's teaching, somebody's blessing, somebody's leading in music. It's a powerful thing, a wonderful thing. So here's the question. What does authentic community feel like? If we are devoted to the fellowship, what does it feel like? How do you describe it? Now, I know in some ways it's like, what does a banana taste like? Let's see, a banana. What does a banana taste like? I don't know what a banana tastes like. How do you describe a banana, right? Well, it's the same thing a little bit. How do you describe authentic? What is it, when you have it, what does it feel like? So turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 130. Psalm 133, where Well, let me read it. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Unity and community, those two things. They can be used synonymously. In David's day, there were two great offices in the entire nation of Israel. There was the office of the king, and there was the office of the high priest. And that was for the whole nation. That high priest was for the whole nation. That position was hereditary, being passed from father to son in the lineage of the first high priest, who was Aaron, the brother of Moses. The office of the high priest was for life. So when they were anointed once in their lifetime, and you would only have experienced watching that once, because that's how often it happened. It was for life. It only happened once in anyone's life. When a high priest was to be anointed, the whole nation would come together in Jerusalem, and oil would be poured upon the head of the high priest. So much oil was poured out that it dripped down both sides of his head and ran down on his beard. This was not this little thing where we anoint somebody with the sign of the cross. There was oil flowing in every direction. And the fragrance would be a unique fragrance for the anointing of the high priest. It would only be smelled once in your lifetime. You would never smell it again, because it's for a position for life, unless you lived very fortunate to live a very long life. The fragrance only smelled once in your life. And so David, now coming back to Psalm 133, David, in trying to describe what real fellowship was like in this building up of the body of Jesus, what real fellowship, real unity, real community was like, he pictured a once-in-a-lifetime nation event and said, it's like that. It's like that. It's like the oil coming down. All the whole nation was there. And as that oil was poured, we would never smell that fragrance again. But we were there. It's like that. How good and pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing of the priest. And everybody said, holy moly. Is it like that? Yes, it's like that. It's like that. But there's more. And David gives a second analogy. The dew on Mount Hermon. All moisture in Israel. Did you know this? I've been to Israel, but I don't know if I knew this. Marcel can come back and report back to us that all moisture in Israel comes from one natural source, Mount Hermon. The northern end of Israel and the highest mountain in Israel. I've seen even pictures of snow up there and skiing. And when moisture flowed eastward off the Mediterranean, it would catch Mount Hermon, and the moisture would flow down Mount Hermon and water all the surrounding area, even as far as Jerusalem, which sits on Mount Zion. And he says, community is like an anointing event for a nation, and it's like an environmental lifeboat for an ecosystem. That's the only moisture there is there. Whatever that draws, that's what there is. And so, if it's like an environmental lifeboat for a whole ecosystem to survive, then we can say how good and how pleasant it is when brothers dwell together in unity. See, this is a powerful thing. He said, when that dew would come down, he said, we knew that we would survive. It was a very, very powerful, very, very powerful thing. It which falls on the mountains of Zion. There God commands his blessing. If that doesn't happen, they're in serious trouble because there's no moisture whatsoever. That, what a picture. Would you have used that? He said, it's like the oil that flows down Aaron's beard, and it's like this once in a this ecosystem, this lifeboat, environmental lifeboat situation. He said, that's what it's like. So our deep, deep affection for each other, our doing life together, there's nothing quite like it. If we're together in unity. It's a powerful, powerful thing. So this community unity is like these two events, once in a lifetime anointing of a nation and an environmental lifeboat for an ecosystem. That's what he used to draw the picture. So we praise God for two amazing things. Number one, for our eternal salvation, which came because Jesus Christ died for us and we received it as a free gift. That's the number one thing that'll blow you away, personal salvation, right? Personal salvation, that you are regenerated. You've accepted Jesus. He's come into your heart. And you've received him as Lord and Savior. That's a reason to praise God and praise God and praise God and praise God. How often we say, thank you, God, that I'm saved. Thank you that I've trusted your Son to save me. And he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then this experience of being put in, placed in, for the building up of the body of Christ. Oh, man. Unity. And community, that for the rest of my life, I'm anticipating being in fellowship. I'm anticipating being a part of this unity and community thing, because that's what God's up to. And as he builds this body, right, as he builds this body, we grow along with it. You bring your material. Don't forget your material. The material is your life, your personality, the way he made you. So unique. I could say things, but almost many, many of you just say, oh, we love you because that's how you are. And you're unique and you're special. And I tell you one thing, we would really fail if you were a part of this, say, you know, I don't feel pretty special, because we wanted you to feel special. We wanted you to feel encouraged. We want you to grow. And this 30-day church thing here we're doing, it reminds me over and over again how crucial this is. I told Marcel the other day, I said, I think I'm getting into it. I'm getting the vibe here, the buzz here from it. Because that's what we need every once in a while. We need to talk about these things. And we've got 6 weeks to talk about this stuff. So I'd like you to stand. And here's what we're going to do. I'd like a number of people, maybe four or five, maybe even six. I want you to pray out loud, just a short prayer, not a long prayer, just a short prayer. I want you to raise your voice. I want you to pray for these 5-6 weeks ahead. And pray that the Spirit of God will get a glimpse of community. We'll get a glimpse of worship. We'll get a glimpse of stewardship. We'll get a glimpse of outreach. That really will happen. That when we're reading our book together, I'm looking forward to that, because I know when Lance is reading his, I'll be reading mine. And I'll know, and I'll wonder what maybe God's saying to him. Or what's God saying to Mike or anybody else that's here. It's a powerful thing. But I want you, let's cover this with some prayers. And Brother Brian, maybe you could lead us out as well. And then have others just say, yes, amen. That's what we're praying for. that as we tomorrow you're starting your book tomorrow, well, that's when it kicks off, and then we'll be going each week. So Brother Brian, lead us, and then have other people just join as well.
Yes.
Somebody else. Yes. Couple more. Yes. Yeah. And so, Father, we pray your blessing on the meetings all this week. We pray you'd protect us, Lord, with that cover of unity. We want to, Lord, we want to maintain that unity. Lord, we thank you for it. You've already made peace. Cause us to carry that on. And, Father, we pray that we'd have a great sense of what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. You're building, you're using us. Maybe just one small stone, but it's for the building of the house of God. We thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that church is more than having just a meeting. It's belonging to a family. And I pray, God, that we would reach out to one another and pray for one another, encourage one another. We thank you, God, for the love in our church. We pray you deepen it. Lord, give us a greater understanding of what it means to be one in the Spirit. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. Lord, we pray the anointing of God upon our meetings. We pray, Lord, in the weeks ahead, even on Sundays, that this place will be, there'd be a real sense of the Lord speaking. So, Father, we open our hearts to you. And we ask you to bless each person that's here. Lord, we ask you to bless them, bless their families, bless their lives, use them for your glory. And I pray, God, that we'll experience wonderful things in the days ahead. We'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Yeah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we invite you now to let the coffee run down the sides of your beard. So please join us on the patio. God bless you. Thanks for being here this morning.